All right, we got water and everything there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, can you imagine, for those of you who don't know me, that I got married here 29 years ago, right here? And how many of you don't know me? You don't? Well, man, get to know me a little bit afterwards, okay? My wife and I have been married right here. Pastor Froki married us 29 years ago, my wife Charlene, and we have two of our five children here, Elsie and Nolan. Our son, Rydell, is graduating from Bible College, Howells Anderson, where both my wife and I graduated from, and your pastor, and a former pastor, and some others here might be from there too, I'm not sure. But anyway, or maybe you attended there or you visited there. But he's graduating Friday, so we'll be there in Indiana this Friday. Pray for him. He wants to take some flying lessons this summer, and then he's going to move on to California to, further his education and then get to another Bible college there on the West Coast, not West Coast Baptist. What is that called? Golden State. Some of you have heard of that. And then and get an MRS, maybe an MRS degree, right? Some of you didn't get that? That'll come on a late flight from John F. Kennedy Airport tonight. You'll get it. All right. And let's see. So he'll be there. Then we have our oldest daughter, Natalie. Some of you know her. That Saul's got married here. She was 1 year old. How many of you came to our marriage? You're that old. Raise your hand. Oh, man, our friend, the Spiegelmeyers. Anybody else? Nobody, you guys must have come too, right? Yeah, I can't remember. We have a picture of that. I have to look at who came and who didn't come. I have to send you something in the mail about it if you didn't come and you were here. Where's Brother Mike Clark? He's always back there daydreaming. Where is he? Yeah, good night. The man is singing these days. Praise God for that. It's a miracle, man. It's a miracle. New baby and all of that. That's what did it. That's what did it. And Brother Noel Vasquez. Praise God. These are some of the folks we know. And others we know. We don't know as much as we have known, long as we've known them. But praise God. You have a good pastor. Amen. We met him right before he became pastor here while Pastor Roku was still here. And a good, nice family. Praise the Lord, all of you. And you back him up. He's doing a good job here. And praise God. This place has a lot of memories for me, you know. I was saved 40 years ago in New York City. And my wife was saved actually at while you were at Kramer, while Pastor Roku was there at Kramer, under his ministry. And then, of course, this church was started, I think it was in 86. When was this started? 84. Yeah. And so, praise the Lord. We go a little while back, right? And praise God. So, praise God for you, and thank God for your support these many, many years. Did I tell you about our other daughter? We have another daughter, Pensacola Christian College, in pre-med there. Kind of tough for her, but she's doing good. She'll be with us in another week and a half. I'll be home with us here, and we'll be traveling together with my family. Our oldest daughter, Natalie, that's where I left off, and she's married. We are grandparents, can you imagine? Twice now. So they have Mercedes, and they have Selah Hope, and she's only about 2 months old. Mercedes, almost 2 years, and they want to go to missionaries to South Africa. I see the South Africa flag there. And praise God. You're in a missions conference, so I'm going to preach a missions message to you. You're ready for it, right? Amen. This is my first message. I've been back in the United States for about a week and a half now. So we met Pastor the other day. We were here Wednesday night visiting, and he asked me to come to the missions conference starting today and to preach tonight. So we're mostly traveling in the Midwest and the Central States, so we're not doing much of the East. But since we were here and he asked us to do this, and we have this Sunday night open, I decided, why not come and do this? Amen? So praise the Lord. Thank you for supporting missions. We're going to preach a missions message. You know, I preach straight, I preach hard, I preach loud, but this is my first message. I've not preached in a few weeks, you know. Probably about 2 weeks before we left, I stopped preaching. I gave my assistant pastor the duty so he can get in the role and get warmed up there. And then, so I've not preached and been behind the pulpit to preach for a couple of weeks. And so, but we'll try it. We'll do it tonight. Amen. You pray for me. So what's going on in Guyana? We've been there 25 years this year. And good night. I watch some of these young people and young couples here and so forth. And your pastor being one of them. You know, and I thought, man, I used to sit here. I used to do that. People used to look at us that young. But we still look young, right? Yeah, maybe, perhaps. But, you know, who would have known 25 years on the mission field? We just stayed. And God has allowed us to start a couple churches there. You know, it's easy to start a church. Just about anybody could start one, you know. Just about anybody. Trying to think of who can start one here. Let's see. Wesley. Even Wesley can start one. But let me tell you some. It's another story to establish a church. But we have established four churches. And they're strong in missions. They're strong in being Baptists. They're strong in separation and soul winning. King James Bible. All of that. And God is doing some. We're at an age right now where we're clipping some coupons. You know, I got saved when I was 15 years old in New York City, 1978, the fall of 1978. And, you know, I made some decisions while I was in high school and then later in the United States Navy and then off to Bible college and so forth. I made some decisions as a 15-year-old, and those decisions have impacted on my marriage, has impacted my life and ministry. And now we're at an age where we can look back and we're clipping some coupons, amen, in our home, in our family, in my children, and also in our ministry, of course. And that's a wonderful thing. When you make decisions and you see and you know it's going to turn out right if you make it, the right decision, but you don't see the end until, well, 25 years or so later. And we're seeing some of those now, and it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Yep, just like the movie says. It's a wonderful life. And it's great. It's great to serve the Lord. You know, Christians and missionaries and pastors. And by the way, we all have problems. None of us are perfect. But nobody's attacked more than the pastor and his family. I mean, you never know. You back your pastor up. You never know when he walks in here like he did tonight, what battle has he faced before, and what knockdown, drag-out fight he had with the devil before. And he smiles, and he preaches, and tries to lift the name of Jesus and lift you guys up to closer to Jesus. You never know what he's been through, what wrestlings he had before he walked in. You pray for him and encourage him along, as you do, many of you, and praise God for that. Amen. And I heard him talking about being friendly. I'm trying to get our church in Guyana to be friendly too, you know. And it's all over. We all need the same thing. The thing is, we're all sinners, wicked devils, but we need grace. We need grace, right? Grace. We need grace. Amen. We need grace. We need mercy. And I'm not preaching yet; just babbling here a little bit. But just praise God for what you all are doing. I'm glad to see what Victory Baptist Church is doing. And I think this is the first church that supported. We were members here at that time. And this is the first church that voted to support us. I can even go back in my list and see who voted when Pastor Roki said, we want to vote who seconds it and so forth. I can't remember who it was, but I have it written down. And praise God. This is the first church that supported us. So that was back in, I think, around 1991. So we've been on a mission field for 25 years, but we were in deputation for about 3 years. So you're talking about 28 years this church has been supporting us. And the first missionary, this was the first church that supported us, our home church at that time. So praise God for Victory Baptist Church. We have a lot of roots here. We have a lot of memories here. I remember that stone thing. We have it all in our video and our wedding pictures and so forth. Same, I love this carpet, you know. You always love your first, you always remember your first love, don't you? And that kind of thing, when I walk into Victory Baptist Church here in Hummel's Wharf, there's always a wonderful feeling of thinking, boy, this is where we got started, you know. And of course, Ms. Shrivnath, my wife, had even beyond that before we met. We met at Bible College in the bus ministry. Praise God. Amen. So it's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. You young people who are here, you young people and young couples, man, serve the Lord. Make right decisions and stick with it. And you'll clip coupons. Guaranteed by the Word of God. Amen. And just make the right decision. You say, how would I make the right decision? Well, know the book. And counsel with your pastor. And go by your conscience. Well, make sure your conscience is in line with the Word of God. Amen. And you'll be okay. You'll be okay. In a world of turmoil, you'll be okay. But God is blessing our work in Guyana. We're training men for the ministry. We have two on training right now. And what I do is I search out those who are called, and I mean, not search, but I look for those who have potential and those who God is working in, and they're faithful and they have the God call of God in their life even. For example, in Vacation Bible School, and don't minimize your Vacation Bible School and children's clubs and so forth, Patch a Pirate, all of that. You know, we had a boy got saved in Vacation Bible School, a teenager, I think it was 2 years ago. And he's called, during the Vacation Bible School, God called him to be a missionary in St. Lucia in the Caribbean. And our pastor there, our assistant pastor who's pastoring in my place while I'm gone, he was saved in a Vacation Bible School in 2006. And our former assistant pastor before that, who is out pastoring right now, he was saved in a Vacation Bible School in 2005. So, you know, I love children's ministry. We used to do junior church here for a little while. We a little bit of everything while we were here as members. We were the youth directors for a while. Did we still meet? Do they have that room upstairs still? They still meet there? We used to be up there. That was before. I'm not. It might be all done now. It was all not all done at that point. We used to meet up there and different things we used to do. So praise God. We just thank you for supporting us and for loving us. And sticking with the preacher and through some tough days and finances and different things and even now still, I'm sure, but just continue, amen? That's a good message, right? I think somebody's preached that before, just continue. Well, we're working our DVD presentation and we don't have it done yet. I was at, where's Hunter? Yeah, he's hunting back there. Hunter, so he works at Subway. We're out there, free Wi-Fi, you know where we live. We can't get too good Wi-Fi, and so we don't have internet there. So we had to go out to Subway yesterday. We're out there. They're probably wondering, why are these people, why they're there for hours working on this video? We had to make correct. The thing is, I don't know anything about computers. So Brother Noel Vasquez is laughing. He's less with me. Noel and Noel, right? We don't know anything. So about computers. So anyway, my wife does. She, if you ever get anything from me through the media of some sort, whether it's email, trust me, I didn't type it. It was dictated. So we were there for hours, and Hunter was so good. He says, I remember him from Wednesday night. He was the first one to greet us at the door there. And he brought cookies and everything for us. He's a good man. Praise the Lord. Free cookies from, probably stole it, I don't know, from Subway. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Hunter. Appreciate it. Well, did I cover everything? As you can see, my mind is all jumbled. But I'm going to get with it here in a minute. When I open this thing, I'm all right. I look out. By the way, here's a sermon by itself. You look out in the world, your job, your family, your children, your spouse, whatever, your church. You know, different things come in life, and we get rattled by it. Different things, you know, finances, whatever, the world, the news. But when I open this book, I get perspective. I get balance. I walk on top of the storms. They don't overpower me. So I'll get it okay when I open it here in a moment to preach. But right now, I'm just talking. So praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Thank you, preacher, for supporting us in this church for all these years. First church, 28 years or so. And man, praise God for all of you who are, whether you're newer to the church or you've been here a little while or you've been here a long while. And praise God for you. Thank you guys for going to work, and you ladies and you moms and housewives and you children here involved in the clubs and being here in a Sunday night missions conference. You know, there are people in every country, and there are people just like you, and they need the Lord. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. So praise God, and continue to pray for us as we travel. This is our first meeting, and then Wednesday we have a meeting in Illinois, north of Chicago, and then in Indiana again, and so forth. We'll be out most in the Midwest and central states. So pray for us. We'll be over here for 4.5 months. We're going to go back first week, first couple of days in September, I think September 3rd. On a Tuesday, we'll go back to the mission field. So we're here for about 4.5 months. We're pretty much booked up with meetings. Mostly are supporting churches, but a few new churches also along the way. Amen? So God is really blessing our ministry in Guyana, and God is working. And that is not to say we don't have problems. We have as much problems as anybody else. We just stay through the problems and open the book and smile and walk above your storms. Amen. So health problems, whatever. So anyway, I think that should do it. If you have any questions, we can talk about it later. Amen. After the service. Okay. I'm not sure how long I have. Preacher said go as long as I want. So that's a dangerous thing, right, to say. All right. Well, let's turn to a missions message, a mission passage from the Bible. You know, God only had one son, and he was a missionary. Think of it, right? Jesus came from heaven to earth to save men, right? The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. God had only one son, and he was a missionary. Guess what? As sons of God, we ought to be missionaries. Right? So we're going to develop that thought here in a little bit. All right, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And this mic is on here. I may use it. I may not. I think this mic picks up really good on the pulpit here. Mark chapter 2. Keep your Bibles open because we're going to turn perhaps to one or two other verses later in the message, scriptures, I mean. Mark chapter 2. Do you guys stand when you read the scriptures? How many want to stand? How many want to sit down? Well, if you can stand, you sit, but if you can, please stand. All right, that's okay. Some stand and some sit, but we are all, if you're saved, in the same battle. All right, Mark chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 to 5 responsively, right? That means I'll read the first verse alone. You'll read the second verse with me and on like that until we go to verse 5. Verse 3 is our text. Mark 2, verse 3 is our text verse. And we begin with verse 1 and read through to verse 5 responsively this evening. Ready? And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in a house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached a word unto them. Verse 3, our text. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Don't forget that little part there at the end of verse 3, and was born again. Born of four. Verse 4 now. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And why don't you read verse 5 with me also, please? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And I'm going to preach here this evening. I'm not sure what to title it, but we can title it, We all need to be involved. That's simple enough. Or, which end are you carrying? Which end are you carrying? And we'll talk about that. Let's pray, and you may be seated. Lord, we do thank you again for this wonderful church. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Rines and his family and all what they're doing here now. And Lord, thank you for this missions conference. Lord, how we need to prioritize our life to see missions as the number one job of the Christian, to reach the lost and disciple them and even to start churches and all of it. Lord, we pray this evening that you'll help each one of us to get a fresh vision, maybe a new vision for some, and maybe even call some young person or someone else that you may be working on their hearts even now to the mission field or to the pastorate, or maybe one day to even become a pastor's wife or a missionary's wife. Lord, call them work in hearts today. That is our prayer, Lord, and that you'll send forth laborers. That's what you said, to pray for labor. So we pray for laborers, and thank you for those who labor here already. Thank you for these good people who support missions and go to work and help and pray and love and befriend missionaries and their pastor and so forth. Lord, please bless tonight. Bless the word, bless as is given to your people, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to look at this passage here. There are always a multitude all around us, amen?
Amen.
There's a multitude all around us all the time. And that multitude, for the most part, is without Christ. They're without Christ. The harvest is there. The problem is with the laborers. Jesus had a problem with the laborers even in his days. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. So we have the mission field. The mission field is a world. You know, we have the seed. The word is a seed. We have the thing to help. We have the thing to plant. We have the thing to grow. We have the thing to blossom. We have the thing to bring forth fruit. It's the word of God. But we need laborers. We need laborers. Amen. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he should, that he would send forth laborers. Matthew 9, verse 38. So it's a missions conference. Let's focus on missions and giving. The giving of our heart. The giving of our money. The giving of ourself. You know, the giving of our energy. And all of it. Let me ask you an honest and sincere question. Is God calling you to be involved with his harvest? Is God calling you? Well, you know, in a very general sense, if you call yourself a born-again child of God, he is calling you. The call is out. Are you answering the call? Are you involved in missions financially? Many of you are. This is a faith promise missions, and that is new to some of you, perhaps, you know, and some of you have been in it or you've heard of it. But are you involved in missions? How is your faith? I'm talking about in giving to missions, right? So we need to be involved. Maybe you have turned a deaf ear to his call. That's a serious charge if it is true. You know, in today's world, in today's churches, that is true, mostly. Many churches don't have a missions emphasis in their program. You know, they're giving here and there perhaps to different causes, but is that going to reach lost mankind, you know, and so we need that. Is it any wonder then that the multitude is still waiting an answer to their problem, since they have no one willing to do the job in getting them to Jesus? Now, notice in our text here that is a clear example in our text of four people who are willing to get involved. Are you an involved person? Well, if you're here on a Sunday night, you certainly are. Amen. Right? You're more involved than most if you're here on a Sunday night. Right. So that's a good indication. Are you an involved person? How involved are you? In your church, in your prayer closet, in your faith, in your giving, you know, and money and all of that. So we need to be involved, and we don't need to give Jesus the leftovers. Amen? We need to be willing to do the job to get people to Jesus. So the text tells us about these four people. They're unnamed, and they brought this man to Christ. He could not walk. He could not get to them. The press was there, and the people were there, a lot of crowd, and they could not get to him. But they did something that, well, it was a little unusual, I guess, even in those days, that they let him down the roof. They cut a part in a roof there and got him down to Jesus in a building where Jesus was. And we need to learn from that. There's a great mission thought there we need to learn from. It did not matter the cost to their personal lives. They thought the souls of men carried to Jesus was worth more than whatever their personal sacrifices that was required of them. And so you and I will have to sacrifice too. Even the outcry of the critics could not deter them from their commitment to Christ. You know, I'm sure there are people there who criticize them and wondering what they're doing, you know, probably thought, you know, this is useless. What are you guys trying to do? Right. You know, leave the fellow there, you know. That's his life. That's the way he's supposed to be, live his life and die, whatever. Now let's examine the real story in the scripture and see where we can make application in our lives concerning world missions. Now, number one, simple. You have to see first the need. You have to see the need. Look at verse 2. Mark 2 and verse 2. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached a word unto them. There were many there. Verse 3. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. So here's a man who had a need, but they could not get in to where Jesus was for Jesus to touch this man and heal him. So there was a need. They saw the need. And you and I are going to have to see the need. This is a sick world, you know. I mean, we think of the sin of homosexuality. I think Pastor mentioned a little bit of it Wednesday when I was here. And all that, and the changing culture and the changing opinions of the world on that. But you know, what is wrong is wrong. What God calls out as sin is sin. Right. That doesn't change. Right. Name it whatever you want to call it, you know. Yeah. But it's a sin. Yeah. You know, we got to see the need. This is a sick world. I'm not talking about that sin alone. All sin. Amen. You know, it's a sick world. And we have to see the need of this world lost without Christ. Jesus says, lift up your eyes, John 4:35. The reason we don't see this with spiritual eyes is because we are taken up by our own wants and mores. A little more of that, a little want this, want that. Now, there's nothing wrong with things, as long as things don't strangle you, choke you, you know, blind you to the need of lost mankind. As Christians, I'm talking now. We have our own plans, don't we? We have our own agendas to fulfill first. Isn't that right? Yeah. That's how it is with many of us. The problem is, by the time we get to doing the will of God, if at all we get there, All we have are leftovers for God. Leftover time, leftover energy, change money. You know, you can't serve God on change money and spare time. No, you can't. Let me say it again. That may sound contradictory. It's not. You cannot serve God on change, pocket change, and spare time. It'll take much more than that. Okay? God deserves more than our leftovers. Isn't that right? God gets the leftovers after we spend the best of it all on our own goals and vacations and comforts. And again, I'm not against those things. But, you know, we got to put things in perspective, in priority, in the way God sees it. God had only one son, and he was a missionary. You know, for our sakes, he became poor. And again, I'm not saying you ought to give out everything and sell everything and get poor. I'm saying, you know, we ought to give and put our treasure where God puts his treasure.
Amen.
And that's in lost mankind and their need of a Savior.
Amen.
I don't believe God deserves leftovers anything. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 1 for a moment. And perhaps you can keep your finger there in Mark chapter 1, or Mark chapter 2. But Malachi chapter 1, you'll turn there, read a couple of verses there. Malachi chapter 1, starting at verse 7, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. Look at verse 7 and 8 and 13. Malachi chapter 1, 7. Ye offer, verse 7, ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. In other words, you know, this thing about sacrificing and serving and missions, man, I'm tired of that. You know, I need a break. I need to do something else for me. Verse 8. And if ye offer it, and if ye offer a blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? What's the blind? That's the leftovers. That's not a good one. That's not a good sheep without blemish. And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts, verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Ye have snuffed at it. You know, you scorn it. And it's contemptible to you to serve the Lord. Ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus he brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Leftovers. God deserves better than leftovers. Amen.
Amen.
How can we, in good conscience, give God leftovers when he has given to us his best, his only son? Romans 8:32 says, he has spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. He gave his best for us unclean, unworthy, wicked, evil sinners. The reason we can't see the need of the multitudes, hang on now, let me kind of rebuke you a little bit here. Not you personally, but, you know, I'm preaching, okay? So if the shoes fit, just try it on. It might be your size. Look, how can we, the reason we can't see the multitude, the need of the multitude, is because we are caught up. We're caught up in self-talk, self-image, and self-promotion. We are looking inward for satisfaction and purpose and peace. You'll never find it. Peace and a clear conscience are not found in inwardly by man chanting, one love, brother, one love. You know? No, you won't get it there. It's not found in the outward folded of fists together, you know, like that, you know. Or flashing the sign for victory in the air. Truth, love, peace, and true contentment, and you know this, are found in looking up, not in.
Right.
Jesus said, look up. We need to look to God, look to Him who rides in the heavens and is sovereign over the universe. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26 talks about that. Psalms 115, verse 3 also talks about that. He has a personal name, by the way. This God we're talking about has a personal name, and that name is Jesus.
Amen.
After you look up, you'll be in a position to see the multitude. You'll be in a position to see the harvest the way God sees it. John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Don't be drowned out by the noise of every man who wants to tell you something new. How to improve your life. You can't improve your life apart from this book.
Amen.
You can't get joy and peace and purpose apart from the Creator's manual for life and eternal life. So don't listen to all those new voices and new things coming out all the time. And there's nothing wrong with new, but make sure it's something that has been tried already based on the Word of God. It aligns with the Word, the pure Word of God. Look up, and then look out and see the multitude who needs Jesus. Hey, look up. Don't look in, look up. And then you'll be in a position to see the multitude. So the first thing I want you to see, you must see the need. And for you to see the need, you got to get in this book. You got to get into this book. No amount of preaching, no amount of teaching, no amount of pep talk, no amount of psychology, no amount of anything will help you. You get into this book.
Amen.
See the need.
Amen.
See where Jesus walked. Look how He talked. Listen to His voice. Follow the shepherd. See the need. And He went after the lost sheep. He went after the lost coin. He went after lost mankind. Amen.
Amen.
See the need. You have to see the need. There's a multitude out there. They're sick. They're sin sick. We need to see that. We know that. But do we really see with spiritual eyes? We know intellectually, yes. We understand that mentally, but do we really get it? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Secondly, first we need to see the need. And these four men saw the need of that man that needed to come to Christ.
Right.
Okay? And that was simply enough. Look at this. Number two, you're going to have to have faith for them who have no faith. It's a hurting world. They're hurting people tonight. Many of you have hurts, you know, in your life. Deep, deep wounds and hurts, even as I'm speaking. And you'll carry that the rest of your life. We live in a hurting world. And sometimes this world and people around us even, you know, they can't see. They don't have faith. They can't see beyond their hurts. We're going to have faith for them. We're going to have to say, he can't come to Jesus. He's an invalid, or he is sick, or he cannot walk. He cannot get there. I'm talking about the story and the man in the story here. But you know what? We're going to have faith for him. We're going to have to do something for him. We're going to have to do something for South Africa and Italy and India and Australia. I'm looking at the ones up here. Israel, Ghana, you know, Africa. West Africa, and all these, we have to see the need.
Yes.
We're going to have faith for some of these people in tribal lands and deep spiritual darkness. They're people with families and children just like you. They have a heart. They're human beings, and they're lost and undone, and they're going to hell. You know, we're going to have to see the need all around this area as we run buses and pass out tracts and go soul winning. We're going to have to see the need. We're going to have to see the need right in our own families of our unsaved loved ones, hurting people. We're going to have faith for them. We're going to have to give ourselves. We're going to have to learn how to forgive. We're going to learn how to accept our forgiveness first. Forgive yourself, if you don't mind me saying it like that. You know. We're going to have faith for those who can't have faith right now. because they're so hurt, they're so blinded. Maybe there something has happened. It's got, they can't get to where they should be. To Jesus, of course.
Amen.
Amen. So number two, we're going to have to see the need. Number two, we're going to have to. That's number one. Verse number two, we're going to have faith for them who have no faith. Verse 5 talks about that. When Jesus saw their faith, he didn't see the man's faith. I mean, he knew the man's faith, but the man couldn't get there. He saw the man who lifted him up and his cot in his bed and brought him.
Right.
He saw their faith.
Amen.
And you get what I'm saying? This is faith, promise, missions, giving, conference. Folks, if you don't have the faith to give to world missions, what's going to happen to those people in Mexico and Guam and Latvia and all of these other countries, Haiti and so forth? Huh? So we are going to have to. God has given us. He has saved us. He has given us the freedom. I mean, next door in Venezuela, next to us in Guyana, South America. You know, and what's going on there. Some of you have heard that on the news. It's really, really bad. Real bad. We have refugees coming into in Guyana from there. And we're reaching some of them for Christ.
Amen.
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 But we're going to have faith. You're going to have to keep supporting missions. You're going to have to keep supporting and give by faith, trusting God.
Amen.
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 Look, church, and praise God, and Pastor instituted this, and you know, many of you give to missions, and you support missions. Some of you support us. Praise God. And continue, of course. But you know what? God has called a body called a church to reach the lost.
Amen.
And he says, bring your money into the storehouse. Amen.
Amen.
So it's about time the Victory Baptist Church rise up and say, hey, this is our responsibility body-wise as a local believing body of Christ. And it is our money coming in here collectively, and we need to support missions through our local church, not just individually, and that's great. Better yet, through the local church.
Amen.
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 So, look, let's think church. Let's think, hey, what can I do? How can I increase my giving? It's going to cause sacrifice. Cause sacrifice for these men to bring, these four men to bring this fellow to Christ. And we're going to have to see the need. We're going to have to see the need of people dying. We have to see, you know, we were like that. We were dying. We were going to hell. But somebody brought the message to us. You heard a message through a track or a TV, televangelist or whatever it might be, or a church knocking at your door, or soul winning time, or however you got saved. I got saved by reading the Bible at home. You know. But somebody had talked to me about it before, but that's how I got saved. I got reading the Bible at home. 40 years ago. There's always a human instrument that God will use to bring people to Christ. God will use His word, but He also uses a person to preach the word, to talk about the word. And then maybe in your, you know, in your own time, you might read it and you'll get saved like I did. But He always uses a person. But you know, it took time. It took energy. It takes money to support missions and to support people who are going to places where we can't all go.
Right.
I mentioned about Venezuela. You know, it's like World War II in Germany and so forth. You know, the money is worth nothing, their money. One American dollar is worth a whole wheelbarrow full of their money. One American dollar. They're throwing it out in the streets, blowing away in the wind. In Venezuela. They're done eating donkeys and cats and dogs. They're no more to find. They're bringing in business people, whoever. That's what I was told by Venezuelans. Imported dog heads from China. They're eating that. You know what I'm saying? They're bad off. Now, that's physically. But listen, what about their souls? They're going to die and go to hell. Even though they're punishing physically, and they'll die and go to hell. Somebody needs to reach them. Somebody needs to see the need. We have a bunch of fishermen that comes in. They're Venezuelan fishermen, and they sell fish. They're bringing the fish to the port city of Georgetown, our capital city, and they sell to the fisheries there. And we have a ministry to those fishermen, those Venezuelan fishermen, and we're reaching them for Christ. But first, I had to see the need. I was out soul winning one Saturday on my bus route. I'm a bus captain also, and though I'm a pastor and a missionary. And so I was out, so and I looked out and across the river where it connects to the Atlantic Ocean. I said, what is that foreign flag? I asked somebody, and they said, those are Venezuelan fishermen. I said, well, how can we get to them? So I ordered Spanish tracks, and I can't speak Spanish, but Brother Noel is going to teach me here soon. But I love people. I love Spanish people. I love all people. Amen. And so and I said, what is that flag out there in that boat? They said, it's from Venezuela. They're fishermen. I said, how can we get to them? So we got permission to get to them, and we ordered tracks. And thankfully, we met some people who speaks English and Spanish, and they're interpreting for us. And we reached those people. We reached about 60 or 70 of those fishermen since February. You know, but somebody must see the need. Somebody must have the faith for those who don't have faith. And they can't right now because of various things in their lives or circumstances. So coming back to number two, you're going to have faith for them who have no faith. Look, the multitude of sick, they don't even know how bad a predicament they're in, nor do they know their greatest need. They want money, but what they need is something money cannot buy. What is that? It is forgiveness. Amen. It is acceptance. It is truth. Again, verse 5, Mark 2. When Jesus saw their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. That's what they need. They need peace. They need forgiveness. They need acceptance. They need truth. And that's what the world needs. When they don't have faith enough, you and I will have to have it for them. Listen to the statement. In the world, you may only think of yourself as one, but to that one, you may be the world. So I'll say it again. In the world, you may only think of yourself as one, but to that one, you may be the world. If you and I don't abide with him and stay in his word, we will never get the faith to help others. Romans 10, 17 talks about faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. And so we need to have faith for those who have no faith right now. First, see the need. This is a lost world. I mean, really, really have the heartbeat of God. Again, he had one son, and his son was a missionary. I'm talking about God. See the need. Number two, have faith for those who don't have faith right now because of circumstances. They can't see beyond their circumstance. Like this, the Good Samaritan that had the wounded man, he couldn't help himself, but somebody had to see the need and get him up to the donkey and into the inn and put oil and balm in his wounds and say to the innkeeper, you know, charge it on my account. And when I come back, I'll pay you whatever I owe you more. Somebody have to see the need. Somebody going to have to have faith for those who don't have faith right now because of circumstances. You say, man, preacher, I'm drowning in my circumstances. I need help. Yeah, but if you're listening to me right now, it's not by accident. God wants you to have faith even while you think you're drowning in your problems. Because those people not only don't have faith, they're lost. They're going to hell. At least you're saved.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the worst it's going to ever be for you. Because after this, it gets better.
Amen.
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 Jolene, isn't that right? Saw you there. Recognize you. And Claire. I didn't recognize you there, Claire, with Brother Claire, with a beard. But look, this is the worst it's going to get for you and I. But after this, it gets better. But for the world, this is the best it's going to ever be, even if they're in bad circumstances. Because after this, it gets worse.
Right.
They go to hell.
Right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to have faith for those who don't have faith. Lost and undone without Christ. We're going to have to see the need. We're going to have faith for those who don't have faith. Okay, we're getting somewhere. It's going to get a little hotter now, right? Not in the preaching, but in the truth. Number three. There's a personal cost to bring others to Christ. Yes, have faith. But your faith has to have feet. You have to sacrifice. You can't say, oh, well, yes, Lord, increase my faith. Look, you want your faith increased? If you want your faith increased,
you're going to have to go through some pain.
If you ever pray, Lord, increase my faith, and you really mean it, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to get burned. You're going to have to go through the fire, and I don't know when and how and where, but you're going to have to. But if you're not really serious about increasing your faith, then all you have is a dead faith. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about living out your faith once you're saved. Faith needs feet. Feet. You need to have shoe leather faith. Amen. You got to walk it. You got to talk it. You got to give it. I used to preach this. I preached here before, you know. I used to say this. You know, we ought to be different from the world. If the world should take a bite out of you, you ought to taste different.
Amen.
We're called to be different.
Right,
we're called to be faith walkers. People who put shoe leather to their belief. Let me tell you the greatest way to put shoe leather to your belief. Get your wallet out and start giving.
Amen.
And put it all on the altar. I must say this, you know, years ago at this church, there was a financial seminar here. And we were members here. My sister-in-law came up. And the guy was talking about credit card and all that. And probably some of you are in credit card debt. And half more than most Americans are. So she said, put your credit card here on the altar. This very altar right here. And she put it up, left it there. And when the service was done, she came back and picked it back up. And took it back home. And stayed in debt to this very day. You know how long ago that was that? About 25 years ago. You know, hey, give it. Don't take it back. And again, I'm not saying sell your house and give all your car and all your money away. You need that to pay your bills and raise your family. But there's a part of it you need to say, Lord, I'm giving to Faith Promise Missions. And I'm going to promise you, and you provide it, Lord, and I'm not going back on my promise. I'm leaving it at the altar. Amen? I'm talking about every one of you kids. You get allowance, you get pocket piece. They call that, I know what. Sometimes I get mixed up on because they speak English where we are, but it's a different, certain words are different. I'm not sure. Sometimes I get confused about how this certain terminology is here. And how to. But you know, whatever your mom and dad gives you, hey, mom and dad, teach them to tithe. Teach them to give the Faith Promise. Even the little ones. Teach them from little. Right?
Yes.
Tiffany, you need to give to Faith Promise. I'm just looking at people. It's not Tiffany, right? That's
Rachel,
yeah. Sorry, Tiffany's not here. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at, man, I can't see. Now I'm getting closer. I can see better. Amen? Up there, I can't see. I better get on here before and collect back my wallet before I forget it. But there's a personal cost to bring others to Christ. Look at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy. That's personal. Amen. They made it personal. Didn't just talk about it. Didn't just bring the guy and left him there and say, hey, you guys can take him in. Try to get him in somehow. There's a personal cost involved. Whether they climbed a roof themselves or had somebody do it for them or help them or paid somebody to break the roof up or however they did it, there was a personal cost involved. There's sacrifice involved. Amen. Amen. And again, I praise God for all of you who support missions with your own money as a family or as an individual. But look, let's change it up and let's get it into to the local church. Amen. And let's do this. Let's start giving by faith to the local church, to world missions.
Amen.
And then vote as a church and say, hey, we are going to support this missionary, or are we going to continue with this one, or whatever the case might be. Amen. I'm stepping away from the mic, sorry. And so there's a personal cost involved. Time, energy, money. By the way, who paid for the roof job? You think somebody who did not care about that man? You think it was somebody who didn't spend the effort and the time to go pick him up to bring him? I suspect that it was the ones who brought him to Christ paid for the roof job. You see that? Money is involved. What do you think? Don't you think if they were good Christians, and by implication, we're thinking they were good Christians, that if they broke the roof down, to let the man down, the sick, that they say, hey, we broke it, we are repairing it. Money was involved. You see what I'm saying? That's missions. That is expending finances to get the sick to Christ. To get the lost to Christ. So there's a personal cost to bring others to Jesus. Ridicule and rejection might be there from others, yes. I'm sure there were those who said, why bother? You're wasting your time. That old man, leave him there. That's his, you know, that's his karma. That's the way it's supposed to be. Maybe he did something bad in life, you know, and that's the way he gets repaid. I don't know. Your energy and money can be put to better use. That's probably what they said to those four guys. Have you ever been told, well, you all married to the church? You got to be there Sunday night too? And Wednesday night? And you got to give 10% of what you make? Man, those people are out for money. Watch out. You know, what's going on there, Victory Baptist Church? And who said you have to dress a certain way? And who says you have to live a certain way and be different? You know, the critics are always out there.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Why it can't be done? Why you should? Why they have a better thing going? You ever look out in the world? Do they have a better thing going? Are you kidding me? They don't have anything. They're dried up.
Yeah.
They're used up. They're empty. They're rattling. They're shaking. They're losing it. We have peace.
Amen.
We have a Savior. Amen.
Amen.
We have forgiveness.
Yep.
Ultimately, you know what it will cost you? Guess what? You know what it will cost you? Yeah, your heart. Everything. You know, when you give your heart, you give everything, don't you? Say, preacher, if I give everything, if I give certain things to God, you know, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. Why don't you trust him? He says, don't give me your leftovers. Don't bring the torn and the lame and the sick and the blind. Give me your best. I am the sovereign God of the universe. I deserve it. I gave my best for you. Watch if I don't bless you. You say, what is that? That's faith.
Amen.
Trusting what he said. And by the way, yes, last week was Resurrection Sunday. The resurrection proves he doesn't lie.
Amen.
He's a living God who shows that every promise he made is alive and well because the person making the promise is not dead. He's alive and well, and he'll bring it to pass.
Amen.
Always, always, always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's wrap this thing up. I said, you know, get involved. Which end are you carrying of the four ends? I mean, if three people are taking that guy to, it's going to be harder. If two people, or if one person, it's going to be even harder. But you know, four people holding their end of the bed and lifting that guy up and taking him to Jesus, well, it gets them much easier, don't it? Which end are you carrying? He says, preacher, I can't do that. That guy makes more money, or they're richer, you know. They can give, they can, I can't do that right. Yeah, yeah, you can. Which end are you carrying? Do you see them? Do you see the need? Number two, are you willing to have faith for those who don't have faith right now because there are laws or circumstances have made them invalid or invalid to the cause of things and things of Christ? They can't get to him. Thirdly, there's a personal cost. There's a personal cost. It doesn't matter what the crowd says or what is the obstacle. Will you do it for the love of Christ? Do you love him that much? I wonder why these guys took this man to Jesus who couldn't go there by himself. I wonder if somewhere along the line Jesus touched one of their relatives or forgave one of their, cast a demon out of one of their sons or daughters. And just said, that man can change lives. I see the need of this man. My relatives was there. Now I'm going to bring him. I'm going to sacrifice. I know he can change him. He can make a difference. Amen. Amen. So we need, don't worry about the critics. Are you willing to go that far to show your love for him? And by the way, you'll have many obstacles, but God will clear all of them when you act on obedience. I like what Paul says, and I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, had all these people forsake me, I was in all kinds of trouble for the gospel's sake. But then he says, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul, you did? I mean, you got beheaded later. Out of them all, yeah, he delivered him. Because you see, after this time here, it gets better for the Christian. Right. It's the worst he'll ever get for us. Amen. Say, Pastor, I can't bear it. Missionary, brother, I can't bear it, you know. My troubles, my wounds, my sin, my past. I'm frantic about the future, anxiety about what's going on, whatever the case. Look, come to Jesus, lay it all on the altar for him, and then look at the need of others. Have faith for them. There's going to be a personal cost involved, and you're going to have to do something that will involve money. Because ultimately, it costs money to bring people to Jesus. Yeah. These bills need paid. You know, things in the church needs to be upkept. It costs money for you to be fed the Word of God, for you to be taught so you can go out and win others to Christ. Ultimately, it costs money. And the last thing, you don't have to do all the work. Just hold your end and carry it. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I can do all of that. You don't have to. Just hold your end. Don't worry about whoever else is not giving. Say, Pastor, I'm giving all I can, but others in the church are not. And that's why we can't do it. So I don't think I'm just going to give anymore because or give as much or give what I used to. No, you do your end. You hold it up. Amen. You give what you're supposed to give, Amen. What God told you to give. Amen. You don't have to do all the work. Just hold your end and carry it. God will send others to help you. Isn't it wonderful when others have the same faith, vision, and compassion that you have for the lost? God will send, but it starts by you holding your end of the cot in bringing men to Christ. Only He can forgive sins. Only he conquered the grave. What are you willing to sacrifice in order to get people to Jesus? Your heart, your time, your prayers. What is it? Ultimately, you'll need to give your money. Remember, someone had to pay for the roof job to get the man in to where Jesus was. Don't ever forget that. What are you willing to give by faith so that others can get to Jesus? May God help all of us, including myself, to be involved and carry our end. You say, Pastor or Brother Shrivnath, you're a missionary, you're a pastor, you're carrying your end. Well, look, we get tempted too. We get tempted to say, you know, man, I think I'm going to cut down on my faith promise this year. I gave too much last year. You know, I've been giving too much to that cause. I'm going to stop that. I'm just going to give the bare minimum that maybe I can give. No, don't do that. Don't do that at all. What are you willing to give by faith so that others can get to Jesus? May God help us, each one of us, to be involved and carry our end. Stop spectating and start participating. Don't look for others to do it. Oh, yeah, they have a job. They can give. I can't give to anybody. I can barely give to anything here. How can I give to missions? Yes, you can. Or else you are giving leftovers. Or worse, nothing even. Is that where you want to be? As a child of God, empty-handed when you stand before Him? What have you given so the multitudes can come to Him? And praise God for those of you who are involved in missions. But let's do it as a church. Let's pool our money to this thing called faith, giving by faith, promising God in the local church, bring it here, and let the pastor and the deacons and the church vote on how it's divided into where missionaries, to which missionaries and how much. That is the program of New Testament worldwide missions giving. Is it a sin to give individually? No, it's not. I mean, individual families supporting me, it's not a sin. But there's a better program. Here's the thing. If you give to missions, you will be blessed. But if you give through the local church, the church will be blessed. Amen. And you will be blessed. And everybody else who come will get a trickle of that blessing down to them. Amen. Where's the biggest blessing? When you give through the local church, by the local church, give the faith promise to the local church. Amen. And through the local church. Everybody following what I'm saying? Yes. It's a better program from the Bible. So don't stop giving, those of you who are giving individually. Now, pull it together here. Let's give by faith, and others who are not involved, get involved. Make a commitment tonight for Christ. And don't take your credit card back with you. Leave it at the altar and say, I've committed, Lord, and I'm giving. I want to give through this local church beyond my tithes and offerings, above my tithes and offerings, to faith promise giving. You know, I'm not trying to boast, but one of the reasons that's kept me on the mission field, and there are several I can name, but one of them, and you can ask my wife, I believe as a family we've been a giving family. We support missionaries. We give to faith promise beyond our tithes and offerings. We don't just talk it, we walk it. Amen. Amen. And when God sees that you're giving Him your best, He says, now I'm going to bless you. Because I see you're giving, not leftovers, you're giving me the best. Amen. Amen. What are you willing to sacrifice? Stop spectating, start participating. In the foremost and precious work in getting the lost to Christ before it is too late. Which end are you carrying? Are you involved? First, see the need. Number two, you're going to have faith for those who don't have faith right now. because of their circumstances. They're hurt, they're wounded, whatever the case might be. Number three, there's going to be a personal cost involved. Personal. You have to make it personal. It's a personal cost of finances and your heart and your time. Somebody paid for the roof job. Remember that. If you remember nothing else about the message, remember somebody paid for the roof job. They didn't just get the man there. They put money down and repaired that roof. Are you willing? Are you willing to bring it to the local storehouse, the Church of the Living God? I said, number four, you don't have to do all the work. Just hold your end up. God will take care of the other ends. You know, I suspect it might have been one man's view or choice. A man said, hey, guys, you know, I feel that guy is in need. Who will help me? He may have called someone else or some of his friends and said, would you help me? But probably somebody got the vision. Somebody got the fire. Somebody saw the need. Don't worry about the other three end. You hold your end up. God will bring others your way. And together, Victory Baptist Church can double the missionaries you support. I don't know how many missionaries you all support, but however many, you can double it through faith, promise, missions, giving. I'm going to tell you this. The churches that I've started, we have taught them this, and they're supporting missions through faith, promise. And the average weekly salary for the person in Guyana is about $80, comparatively to U.S. dollars, about $80 a week. And they give tithes and they give faith promise. And we support missions, you know, several missionaries. And each church we've started, they support missions, and they're in missions. And some of them run buses, and some of them are after the lost. Hey, it's not how poor or how rich you are. Are you following the word of God for world missions? Remember, if you remember nothing else from the message, and I know it's been long, but listen, if you remember nothing else, remember this. Somebody paid for the roof job, and it costs money. What are you willing to pay so others can come to Christ? See the need. Have faith for those who don't have faith yet. There's a personal cost involved, and just hold up your end. Don't worry about everybody else. Hold your end up. God will bring other workers your way and in the church to help. Amen. And you'll see God work a miracle. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed.